Thank you all very much. It's wonderful to be here with all of you, and I wish I had some interesting and exciting reason why I was late getting here, but it's just something not interesting and not exciting that happens sometimes in the government. But I'm very sorry I missed Paula's remarks. I'm a great admirer of your work and your commitment to this issue, so thank you so much for being here. And thank you, Chris, so much. In the year's time that I've been in the White House, one of the greatest pleasures I've had is working closely with NIJ. You all are really working to build evidence-based practices that will inform our work moving forward. And so I want to really give Chris and her whole team a big round of applause. And I also want to acknowledge the Office on Violence Against Women. Are you all here? No. Well, I want to say wonderful things about them. The Office on Violence Against Women has an immense task. They administer more than 20 grant programs. They analyze emerging issues. They work on policy. And I've visited with the office there. And just like at NIJ, for every person there, it's not simply a job. It's also a mission and a passion. So a big round of applause for the Office on Violence Against Women. And I bring you greetings from Vice President Biden. As you know, he just returned from an extensive foreign trip, so he was not able to be here with you today, but he greatly admires all of you, all of your work, researchers, practitioners, advocates, all the great work you're doing. And he thinks about this every day, and he often tells the story that he found his true partners in working on the Violence Against Women Act when he met all the folks working on the front lines in battered women's shelters and rape crisis centers. And so you all and the work that you do is very much in his mind. As I said, I've been at the White House for more than just about a year, and it's a tremendous honor to be working closely with our VAWA champion, Vice President Biden. And, you know, I was a shelter director in rural North Florida when I first read then-Senator Biden's 1991 report, A Week in the Life of American Women. And this report described unspeakable acts of abuse that women had experienced in big cities and small towns all across this country. And it significantly influenced my own understanding of how violence affects women, our families, and our communities. Over the next few years, then Senator Biden held hearings on domestic violence, sexual assault, and stalking. And finally, on September 13, 1994, the Violence Against Women Act was signed into law. Those of us working on the front lines couldn't have imagined the changes that were about to occur. I think about the rural sheriff in Florida that started out by saying, we just have no domestic violence here in our county, to end up really being a leader in the fight to stop it. I think about those first tables where we sat down together with law enforcement prosecutors and victim advocates to draft model policies for responding to domestic violence and sexual assault calls. And I think about the judge sending a victim down the hall to meet with an advocate to learn more about her legal options. All of this happened and more. I think particularly that about the VAWA state planning process, and the real gift of VAWA, even more than the funding, although the funding has been critically important. VAWA sent more than $4 billion to communities all across the country to respond to domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking. But even more than the funding, VAWA brought people together. And I remember when I was working in Florida, our very first VAWA planning process led by our governor's office. And they identified the critical need for rural services and responses in rural communities. And this process really brought out the best in all of us. The governor's office then gave that task to the State Domestic Violence Coalition, and we put up a big map of the state, and we looked and we identified more than 20 counties that had no services and no response, places that could be served with this brand new VAWA funding. And our rural caucus looked at this map, and rather than everyone saying, what's my piece of this pie, how can I get funding, everybody said, how can we bring life-saving services and a coordinated response to women and families in these communities? So the state VAWA planning process really brought out the best in people. And VAWA brought about systemic changes as well. States changed their laws and policies so that victims didn't shoulder the financial burden of filing for protective orders or getting forensic exams. Local jurisdictions changed the dangerous practice of requiring offenders and their victims to sit down at the table together in mediation or couples counseling. States created mechanisms to enforce protective orders across state lines and across tribal lines so that victims fleeing for safety could be protected. And as we learn more about how women and families were experiencing violence, VAWA was strengthened. And when the definition of dating violence was added into VAWA in 2000, 39 states then followed suit and now include dating violence in their civil protective orders. In response to our understanding that housing needed to extend beyond emergency shelter, VAWA was amended to include funding for transitional housing and in 2005 to include protections for victims living in Section 8 and public housing. And in 2005, VAWA was also strengthened to train healthcare providers, raise awareness, and make sure that responses to domestic violence, dating violence, sexual assault, and stalking are culturally relevant to communities being served. But in spite of all this incredible progress, still today, our shelters are full, our hotlines are ringing, and for every victim who has come forward, we know that there are thousands more who still need help. In response to where we are today, President Obama's 2011 proposed budget includes an unprecedented $730 million to address violence against women in communities all across the country. This is a $130 million increase over 2010 levels. And these funds are designed to shore up core services, help victims find housing, improve legal assistance to victims, and make sure that every call for help is answered. As we dialogue back and forth today, we're going to talk some more about what are our next steps as an administration, as a nation, and local communities moving forward. But I want to leave you with the words that the Vice President said when we celebrated the 15th anniversary at his house last September. And he said this, "Let us herald a new beginning. Let us keep the promise that we made to our daughters and our granddaughters 15 years ago today, not to reduce domestic violence and sexual assault, but to end it." Thank you, and I'm looking forward to your questions.